The sharing economy is a term we've heard a lot in the past couple of years, with companies like Uber, Airbnb, and TaskRabbit on the rise. But critics say while they've made life easier in some ways, they've also created a society where more and more people are relying on gigs and small jobs with no benefits rather than steady careers. According to Stephen Hill, that's bad for the economy. He's with the New America Foundation and author of Raw Deal: How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers. But rather than just critiquing this new reality, Hill says he has some solutions to make it better for workers. One is the multiple employer safety net. He joins me in studio to explain how it works.
Well, you know, if you think about it, the way most people have always gotten their safety net is through their employer. Mm-hmm. And, if, you know, the traditional American model was that you had a single employer and you worked for them, you know, many cases full time. And that became where you the place where you got your health care, your retirement, you know, all the safety net. And so this is what's disappearing is more and more Americans now are working for multiple employers. But our system was not set up to allow people to access a safety net through multiple employers, because for each, usually they have thresholds. You know, if you work above 25 hours or 30 hours, you get some sort of benefits. But when you're working for multiple employers, you never get above that with any one employer. So what I propose in my book is that we would do something like the following, which is already being used in many other countries around the world and also in the construction and trades industry in the United States. It's what's called a multi-employer safety net. So, you know, you work for an employer. That employer would pay a certain amount of money, and it works out to about $2, $2.50 per hour above your wage into an individual security account for you. Mm-hmm. And they would pay the amount that's prorated to the number of hours that you work for that employer or that business. And so even Uber and their drivers can do this. They would pay that amount for their drivers, or TaskRabbit, or any of these companies who are hiring contractors and freelancers. They would still pay. They don't get out of it with this type of system. And then you, as the individual, now you have this money in your individual security account. You use that to purchase your safety net. Some of it would just be directed into existing safety net infrastructure. So, for example, Social Security, Medicare, injured worker programs that are already set up at the state level, unemployment programs at the federal and state level. It would just go into those and into health care, the Affordable Care Act. Now, Obamacare makes it very possible for an individual to get health care much better than you could before.
Do you think it would be easy to convince these companies to pay that kind, the $2.50 above the rate?
Well, I mean, you know, would it be easy? I don't know that it'll be easy, but I know that I have been in conversations with a bunch of them, and they are interested. Mm. And members of Congress are interested. Some state legislators are interested, because more and more people are recognizing we have to do something. I mean, even some of these businesses are realizing if the quality of jobs declines and more people don't have enough money in their pockets to buy up the goods and services that the economy is producing, we're going to be in serious trouble. You get into a downward recessionary cycle on an ongoing basis. So, and also these companies, you know, a lot of them they're being sued because they're hiring people and saying they're contractors when in many ways they clearly are employees. I mean, you know, when Uber can shut 350 drivers off its platform because those drivers' acceptance rate is too low, that's the sign that that's an employer, not a contractor. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, these companies want what's called safe harbor. They want some sort of harbor from lawsuits. And so if in exchange for getting them to buy into this kind of, you know, multi-employer portable benefit plan, they could be offered safe harbor in certain ways from a legal standpoint, then I think, you know, if more of them are indicating they're at least interested in having that conversation. Whether or not they'll actually support legislation, I think, remains to be seen.
Hmm. And what about on the larger economy level? One thing you talk about is job sharing.
Well, job sharing is something that we should be doing a lot more of in the United States. They do a lot of it in Germany and other European countries, especially during that economic crash that we had in 2008. For example, in Germany, what they did is instead of just laying off a ton of people like we did here in the United States, is they had everybody cut back a little bit. So instead of working 100% full time, you're working maybe 90 or 85%. So then they can redirect that 10 or 15% of work time to other workers who would then, you know, make up that difference and not, instead of being laid off, now they would have at least a part-time, if not keep a full-time job going. And Germany had laid some money aside during the good years so that when they did this, they didn't really reduce the amount of pay that workers were getting for their reduced time. And by doing that, a few other good things happen. One, you keep more people to having money in their pockets so you don't get into those recessionary cycles. You know, you don't have the utter devastation that happens to families when their main breadwinner gets laid off. And that, in turn, has a lot of impacts on communities, increases in alcoholism, domestic violence, mental illness, crime, and all of these communities that are hit by, you know, layoffs and such. So this is a would be a really good thing to do, even in, not in, in economic bad times, because, you know, a lot of workers discovered when they worked less, even if they had a little bit less money, they actually liked having the free time to spend time with families and enjoy life a little bit more. It's, you know, the American is known around the world as the no vacation nation because we have so little vacation in the United States. And, you know, we just work more hours and not necessarily for more pay than a lot of other developed countries. So I think this is something that we really could do here. It wouldn't be that hard to implement. It's already been done in many other places, and it would work, I think, quite well.
And these other places, a number of your solutions are drawn from places like Germany or Denmark or Switzerland, countries that are much smaller and have smaller populations. And so I'm wondering, is it feasible? Is it really doable?
Sure. I mean, Germany is not a small country. It has 80 million people. So it's not like it's a small country, smaller mm-hmm. than us. But I mean, it's larger than every U.S. state. And a lot of these things that Germany has done and that I talk about in the book can be done at the state level. In fact, the multi-employer portable benefits plan that I spoke about earlier, that could be enacted right here in San Francisco. We don't even need to wait for the state of California. Already we have a law in San Francisco that says that if the employer has to provide health care, and if they don't, they have to set up a health care account for you and they have to pay into it. Then you get to buy your health care through that health care account. Well, the plan that I've proposed is really about the same thing. It's just that instead of just doing it with health care, we're now going to expand that to other safety net components, you know, also injured worker compensation, unemployment, Medicare, Social Security. So, you know, I mean, we could do that right here in San Francisco, in Oakland. There's talk of doing something like this in Seattle. And, you know, I think in many ways, cities are going to be the vanguard of these sorts of changes. I mean, let's face it, the federal level is completely broken for any types of changes with the Republican Congress. And I don't see that changing over the next, you know, decade or so. The Republicans are going to maintain control for reasons that would take another show to talk about. You know, in the states, some of the states, the blue states, California might be something, a place to pass some good legislation like this. But really, the place to start is at the city level and right here in San Francisco.